So this is the weekly theme show, a new podcast, and this is the first episode that'll probably never air, because that's how it goes. I'm Ryan, but everybody knows that. Joining me are two people you definitely don't know, Justin and Nick.
And we like it that way.
Indeed.
You're mysteries wrapped in enigmas.
Oh.
Wrapped in each other.
I couldn't have said it better. Maybe a little bacon, too.
Oh, no. So the idea of this show is to talk about WordPress themes from a user's perspective, avoiding any talk of code, any really heavy customization even, and just talking about finding themes, kind of determining what theme to use, and just the basic usage of themes. I mean, that's kind of the jumping off point for this, and, we'll see what happens. Everybody kind of knows my background when it comes to WordPress themes, or generally knows me when it comes to the site, but you guys, like I said, are unknown. You're local here to Fort Wayne, where I am, where WP Candy headquarters, I suppose, is based, even though that makes me sad to say. Inside, in my inner parts, I get sad. You guys, Nick, you start. What is your general background when it comes to WordPress themes?
Sure. I'm definitely a user when it comes to themes, installing themes, using themes, liking themes, disliking themes. I do nothing but use them, and maybe an occasional modification of maybe a header image, footer image, widgets, things like that. I would say I'm a full-fledged user. I do get into some PHP, but we're not talking about that here. So,
just the blindest of tweaking attempts, right? I mean, that's
very much
exactly.
So.
Change this, and then this other thing might happen. Yeah,
right.
Oh my
and
god,
then
it's
it,
white screen. What just happened?
When that doesn't work, I just hit Apple Z and it undoes it. So
yeah. So you work with themes primarily, like personally. I mean, I know you set up a lot of sites for friends too. So you probably fall in sort of the heavy user, but nothing close to developer or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm a heavyweight user and I do use it for some business stuff, but, it's mainly just for personal uses. So
cool. And then of course, Justin runs a porn, network of sites using WordPress.
Some of the best.
We're not here to talk about our own personal sites tonight, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's deeply personal. He keeps that one pretty close to the chest, but, no, Justin, what is your background? Your real honest background with WordPress?
Well, basically stems from, personal projects and a hobby interest, through a couple of places I work for, setting up sites for them and, for other friends, and of course the occasional family member that's, I need you to make me a website. Those kind of, everybody's gotten those phone calls, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's sort of the web or the internet equivalent of, having to help your relatives with their computers on the holidays. Like, I always get that. Where it's like, oh, it's so great to see you. I have this issue with my email or something.
Yeah.
It's the internet equivalent of that of like, everybody needs a website.
Well, and I would also say Justin and I both have Ryan Immel to blame for simply being involved with WordPress in general, because my background goes way back to starting a personal blog and him telling me that it was absolutely terrible. So that's kind of how I got started, and once I got the hang of it, jumped in kind of doing it with my friends as well.
That's my nice way of telling people to try out WordPress. Like, that really sucks.
Yeah.
That.
I think at one point you were actually offering to set anybody up who wanted to be set up with a WordPress install just for free, just to make them get away from whatever they were doing before.
Yes, that was a while back. That was during freelancing days still, but yes, that was
probably 4 or 5 years ago for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, if somebody really does just need a basic site and wants WordPress, like, that's easy enough to set up. I'll probably still do that for people. Like,
yeah, that takes you about 5 minutes.
Exactly. That's easy. Just use like a WordPress.com or something, but
sure. Definitely not Blogspot for sure.
No, yeah, something humane is really the goal. Okay, so I've got another question then. What on your primary sites, let's say, you know, whatever the one or two sites that you primarily use, what theme is currently running? Like me, my you know site that I spend all my time on is WP Candy, and I am running heavily modified. This is where I'm a bad example, but I'm running a heavily modified version of WP Framework by Patah Dunbar. But actually, I've got another different one that is a user-centric one. Let me pull it up. Actually, it's my girlfriend's blog, who I helped her set up on WordPress.com just a few weeks ago. She's taking ASL classes and really interested in the deaf and hearing impaired community. And so we set her up a site, and I'm actually not, which theme is this? It is Chunk on WordPress.com, which is an automatic based theme.
That says it all. Chunk, right?
Chunk!
There.
Yeah. No, it's just it's a really minimal, it's really only one column, but it kind of puts like the post information to the left of it, so it kind of has a two column feel, so those are the two themes that I've played with most recently.
Nice. Well, I'll go first. I use the trash out of 2010 and 2011 because those are default themes and they're simple, they're easy to use, and, they're very similar in the way they're laid out in a sense, but I think they just kind of like nail the general blogger's kind of layout.
Yeah, it does sort of have like that empty canvas feel to it.
Yeah.
No matter what you stuck in there, it's going to look pretty good.
I believe I've also used Standard, which is a Press 75 theme.
No, Standard theme, that's 8-bit, isn't it?
Is it 8-bit? I can't remember.
Isn't it just standardtheme.com? Is that where it's from?
I'd have to pull it up here, but I think you're probably right. You helped me get that. I think a while back.
No, that's 8-bit. I think it's 8-bit.io, but the theme is a standardtheme.com. That's a really cool blog theme too.
And there's one other theme, but I'd have to look it up, and so Justin can kind of rattle off the ones he uses.
Yeah, for the site I'm most responsible for, and my job is using a theme called The Corporation. I think it's by Elegant Themes. Yeah, Elegant Themes. Pretty simple to use. It has one of those, you know, big clunky back ends on the dashboard to kind of help modify things. It's supposed to make everything easier, but, you know.
Really ruins your life in the long run.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, especially as WordPress has been updated, there's been some definite, like, functionality problems with it where it used to be, like, tabbed. Now it just, like, the five tabs are just splayed out in one gigantic scrolled down list. It's hard to find things.
So you mean it's broken?
Oh, it's completely, it's terribly broken.
I love broken themes.
So every time I have to go in, well, and like it's to change things, like how many like featured images there are on the front. Like it has like a jQuery deal that you know rotates images through, and you know how many is going to be there, or how many posts display on the front page. The things that I have to change on a monthly basis or so. I just dread having to go in there and do it because it's just completely broken.
I mean, do you think is it something that, like, the theme has been updated and you just, like,
is the update?
Yeah, I mean, in Elegant Themes, your licensing is you buy a membership that was, I remember it being a pretty hefty price, like $100 or something for the year, which I guess probably should, you know, look those things up before I say them on podcast.
But. Well, I actually think, it might have changed recently, but I'm pretty sure I just pulled it up. They're $40 a year.
Okay. Well, maybe I should just, you know, suck it up and buy another year and see if it is an update.
I was wrong, actually. They have two. They're one of these that have two. There's a $40 a year personal or a $90 a year developer, which it looks like the only difference between the two is having Photoshop files with it. So you're probably
going to end
with $40 a year for that.
Okay. Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's one of those things that especially I think even you helped me set this up, you know, a long time ago. You don't know, what PHP files were modified, and once I drop a new theme in there, what changes are going to get blown out, because this was way before the day of the child theme, that whole, the whole fiasco and trying to do all that, but, yeah.
When I had one more, too, for more business purposes. I used the BioThemes show-off beta theme, which I think John Nolan and Gilbert Pilgrim, I don't know how to say his last name, they made that one. I don't even know if they've actually pulled the theme out of beta at all, but I haven't really needed a reason to have it modified or changed too much from the original, so I've just kind of been using it.
Yeah, I mean, and it probably won't be because BioThemes closed.
Yeah, which is probably a lost all support. Yep, there we go.
Yeah, so I mean, but I remember that. I don't remember exactly what it looks like, but I remember that theme being pretty neat. It was a very visual one. I'm pretty sure, like, I mean, I blogged
about more of a portfolio theme kind of deal.
Yeah, I blogged about when BioThemes opened.
I'm reading your blog right now. It was 355 days ago by Brian Cross.
It was a while. Sorry, I didn't blog about it, but somebody did. Yeah. And it closed down, it looks like, in September. So they're probably not going to take that theme out of beta.
No, I think I've moved it out of beta. I've done some modifications.
There you go. There you go. You are the new owner of it. But yeah, that's a cool theme. Yeah. Probably a tough one to get support on anymore, but oh well.
I just call GoDaddy and they do a really good job. So.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It's a good call.
The other one I've been using the heck out of was called Moses. It's my mint themes for churches.
Sacrilege right there. That's just sacrilege.
I know. Got to part the Red Seas of the interwebs to bring Jesus to the people.
You know, it's awful, but I approve.
So many dirty things just ran through my mind.
Oh, dear. Yeah, it's definitely kind of out of the box. Just, you know, church website kind of in a box. And for most people, it works great. You know, as a kind of advanced user, that does some things that annoy me, and I think it tries to do too much. But I think they are trying to be kind of one-stop shop for anybody who's trying to make up a church site, and they do a decent job of it.
Yeah, they have mintthemes.com. I'm just looking through it now. They have like a couple that seem pretty church specific. Is that like all of what they do?
No, I'm looking here as well. They have one band theme up, it looks like, so far, or two band themes, and a store theme.
Okay, so it's not specific, but they do have a hand, like three or four, it looks like, that are...
Yeah, there are four now. I mean, as of, like, you know, a year ago when we started messing with this, you know, with Mint Themes, and it was kind of like, it was the church theme place.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they're trying to branch out a little bit more, it seems.
I mean, you know... Being in the Midwest, we see a lot of church websites, and I've definitely, you know, set up a number, and I know you have, and, I mean, as far as the look of a church theme goes, they've really, like, they've nailed it with a lot of these, with Moses. I mean, it looks like a good church site should look.
Right. Yeah, I mean, both, they have a number of different color options included, mm-hmm. different style sheets you can choose from. And with both churches I set it up for, actually matched the red kind of grungy feel, really matched the logo and branding, the feel of the one church, and the green and gray kind of look really worked with the earthy kind of feel of the other church that I was working with. So, that's definitely.
It's a good looking theme. Nice and clean. It just sounds like, I mean, we've talked about this, briefly before. I know that this theme gives you a way to like add sermons, add podcasts to the site. And I think when we were talking before, it's just, you know, if you kind of have it kind of makes you afraid to change the theme because all of that
right.
kind of be lost or broken.
Well, that's what I kind of alluded to before. I'm frustrated it's doing too much. One, like you said, I mean, a church is going to be around for a while. And it would be frustrating to have to...
At least until the end of the Mayan calendar this year.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, so
it'll still be here.
In general, most churches and their websites are going to be around for quite a while. So I feel like it'd be frustrating to some of their content's locked up in custom post types that are specific to that theme. And I'd be a bit frustrated to, you know, 2 years from now when we go to change it, basically kind of lose all that content and kind of all that Google, you know, juice, so to speak.
And I love Google juice.
Exactly. It can.
Into the Google and it drips down your chin. That Google juice all over you.
Yeah.
It's a terrible image. I apologize.
It's like the Kool-Aid of the web. So
anyway, back to Jesus over here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the most frustrating thing I've experienced with that theme is getting the damn podcast to work for the damn sermons. They're heavily designed, and you can tell just kind of thrown in there as an afterthought because, well, you know, of course churches want to put their sermons up, and we're going to make a, you know, something in the functions file that does that for us. Well, I mean, I had some issues, you know, getting it, up onto iTunes, the feed to properly validate with iTunes, and which, you know, I ended up having to go in and do some heavy editing of the PHP file that spit it out.
We're not talking about that here, Jones.
Right. Well, I mean,
no code.
The point is, a few others, you know, end users are going to be able to do that and get it working. Whereas I'm sure that somebody out there has to have just a really good podcast plugin that I wish they would have said, okay, here it is. You want to do sermons? Great. Go grab this plugin. It's already styled up, but go over there and to that guy and download it and install it.
Right. I mean, there are themes that, there are a number of people that make, or there are a few shops that make e-commerce themes.
Yeah.
Because there are a handful of plugins for running shopping carts, whether it's Shop or WP Commerce or WooCommerce, Cart 66, I think. There's a bunch of different options. So rather than building their own because it's so complex, and podcasting is complex too, a lot of themes will choose to just offer support for either all of them or at least a few of them to give people the most options. It is tough because, I mean, obviously we do, I do podcasts. We've got podcasts on WP Candy, and I think I use the Blueberry podcasting plugin, which is, it works and I'm able to do stuff with it. But I mean, at the same time, I do wish there was something a little bit simpler and maybe a little bit cleaner and something that felt better than this one does. So maybe that's why they felt the need to roll their own solution. But yeah, that's not ideal for sure.
I would agree as well.
Well, that's nice of you.
I have nothing to add to that.
Summed it up perfectly. Did you have any, have you had any experience with Mint Theme support, Justin?
They use a ticketing system. I don't think it might be Zendesk or something similar to that.
Okay.
But I haven't had great luck with it. But it might just be because some of my problems have been more kind of focused on more the development kind of heavy user type stuff. But the questions I've submitted to them, I'm trying to think. One had to do with getting the podcasting stuff to work. It's basically kind of a deal where it's a ticket, but it's also once they mark the ticket as closed, it kind of goes up as kind of a forum style and other people can comment on it. Or maybe the forum's different than the tickets. I can't really remember, but I feel like the questions I'm asking weren't really heavily modifications. It was more just getting stuff to work right.
Sure, reasonable enough.
But I mean, there are people on there. The guy that runs it is pretty active on the forum, and they have some other people responding to tickets. I feel like they have like a first level. Right after I submitted the ticket last weekend, we were actually sitting at, in WordCamp Atlanta, submitted a ticket, and about 5 minutes later, I got a response back from somebody who, kind of first level person, basically said, "Oh, your problem looks kind of complicated. Please submit, log on information to the WordPress install and some FTP information," which, I definitely understand that they, to fix some of these problems, if they're going to go into the PHP and edit something for me, that's great that they're willing to do that. But it definitely is a bit interesting. I just gave them $80. That's the only business relationship we have. Now they're asking for, FTP login information and WordPress login information, which I'm smart enough to create another set to do that with. I'm guessing that, most people in the church world aren't quite as literate as, the three of us, and we'll just be handing over the keys to the kingdom, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah, it sounds like maybe things could have been simplified a little bit there. Actually, fun story. Mint Themes, before they launched fully, and actually a long time ago, this would have been probably 2009, maybe a little bit into 2010. Adam, who runs that, I actually made some themes for. This was back during their first incarnation of Banthemer. Which luckily those are all gone now. Nobody would have to use any of the themes that I built back then. But yeah, did some work way back when
they were. That's the other thing. They I first implemented this theme about 9 months to a year ago, and I ended up basically completely redoing the site that I started with. Downloaded the new version of the theme and just basically started from scratch because they have went through and cleaned up the code quite a bit. And fix a lot of the things that weren't just quite working right. Definitely, they seem pretty active over there. And if there is an issue, and enough people are having it, it truly is, you know, broken. I feel like they will come up with an update. But it's just, you just really got to be careful what you are altering, because if there's an update you need, you don't want to have to overwrite what other changes you've made to it.
Are there? I mean, they definitely have a few that are specific, you know, very specific and geared towards churches. Are there any other sites or places you found for church themes other than these guys at Mint?
Not really. I think mainly what I've used in the past for other churches was just kind of a more of a business type theme. And my business, I mean, mainly it's the business or e-commerce themes that have kind of the big, you know, big image based kind of jQuery sliders on the front with kind of a blog style underneath. Just kind of
has the look.
Yeah. I guess certain people are used to seeing information in a certain way. So I don't know if it has to do with just because of the way, you know, churches market like a business, or if we're marketing to people, or our kind of our target market or audience is people that are used to seeing those kind of sites.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I was just curious. It seems like a niche of themes that isn't quite tackled fully yet. I mean, if you want to find, and this is something that we'll, you know, get into as the show goes on weekly, this show about themes, we'll get into this more, but I mean, you can throw a rock and find, you know, 100 different portfolio theme options or,
sure.
Right.
You know, kind of blog style themes, but you know, there aren't a ton of options for kind of various specific businesses or organizations looking to set up sites. They're starting to crop up, but I mean, not in large amount quite yet.
Well, in kind of going along with that, like I said, a year ago they had this one theme, and now there's Malachi and Micah and Ezekiel.
They've got a lot of the Old Testament to work through before they're going to run.
good point. So it makes me think that this is a viable business for them, and since they're kind of forking off and making very very similar themes, I'm sure the back end looks very much similar and functionality wise, but getting a bit of a different look to the homepage than the one that I've chosen.
Mm-hmm. Nick, you do. You do a lot of music sites, band sites, but more like singer-songwriter sites, right?
Yeah, bands. I do anybody's sites as far as like music goes. Yeah.
Like orchestras?
I would definitely do a very large orchestra as long as they needed just one website.
Yeah. Just one website they were all going to share.
Not for each member, no.
Do you typically use 2010 or 2011 for them as well, or have you found other themes that...
Yeah, so... What I've done, and I feel is most effective, especially for any business, well, maybe not for any business, but for at least my business, in keeping branding and marketing consistent and keeping simplicity purposes, because I manage most of those sites, to use a parent theme and then do child themes on that. So I use 2011 to do that.
Yeah. Do you tend to do that because you're familiar with 2011 and you can make the changes and you think it's effective, or is it because you haven't really seen anything?
Yeah, both of those things. I'm way more comfortable and familiar with that theme, and most of the time when I'm searching for like band themes and things like that, they just either do way too much or don't do enough, so they don't. They don't attract me. Maybe if I were to download the theme and actually start working with it, I'd find that it actually is useful, and I wouldn't have to have all of this crazy stuff they have on their themes. But I think majority the reason I do it that way is because simplicity purposes, and I'm more familiar with it.
Sure.
My opinion is too is that most of the themes that I'm seeing in most of the theme shops and whatnot for bands are just... They're designed by people that aren't in bands, so it's kind of hard for them to kind of really get it.
That's a good point. I mean, that would honestly, that you know, I think as we go on with this, we'll have to either kind of each week try to become familiar with fields, or maybe when we know people that it would be relevant, or know people in fields can kind of pull them in for some of the stuff. Because I mean, yeah, like you said. Making whether it's a band theme or a church theme or whatever the niche is. I mean, it's, I'm curious whether many of these really do work well for them, or whether they're just not, they just aren't marketed that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would also say too, I mean, I've used 2011 for, you know, personal themes and even a couple other purposes, and when you're just comfortable using a theme and you know how it works and what does what, it really is just either simpler for me just to make a slight few modifications and teach myself something new as far as functionality or maybe some code to get it to do what I really needed to do versus starting completely over with a whole new theme that's completely different and things are titled differently. And so,
well, and there's also, I mean, when it comes to using a default theme like 2010 or 2011 and 2012 will be here in about another month or so.
Right.
I mean, when you're using a theme like that, you know that there's a large community of people who are also using that theme.
Right.
And when you have, you know, questions or issues with it, it's probably already been answered and dealt with somewhere. I mean,
right. And a lot of those questions, you can just hop right on the WordPress forums and there's already an answer. So.
Right.
Yeah, or the
other side of the support issue where support's probably already been dealt with.
Well, I think, if I remember right, Nick, with you know, one particular site, you wanted to take the, you know, the width of the main content and, you know, get rid of the sidebar and you know, expand the content. And we just basically threw into Google, you know, 2011, you know, content width, and there was like a blog post about these four files you need to go in and change. You're going to the style and change these four classes, and then it was done. So, like you said,
because everybody's using it.
And that's one thing I think theme shops could probably do better is just kind of like being more honest about what they're targeting more. I mean, because like, I know some theme shops are so big that they do almost everything, but you know, for people that are doing kind of specifics, it's just like, you know, if you really market yourself and push yourself that way, you know, it helps us when we're looking for a band themes or church themes or portfolio theme, whatever, to find you. Because the way we search Google is, okay, I need a band theme. So I'm typing in free band themes or, you know, cheap band themes or, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
Well, and it's, you know, I don't want to say this word too lightly, but SEO. If these theme shops are making themes, you know, for bands or for churches, or like the other day I typed in wedding, you know, wedding themes, and just a lot of blog posts about wedding themes came up, but no specific theme shops came, you know, ranked for that term.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's almost like if they are putting out that product, you know, they need to start, you know, blogging about it or whatever is going to help them rank for it in search engines to help me find it, because
get the word out.
Because great, yeah, I mean, you know, great sites, yeah, like one blog I read is all about, you know, WordPress. I can look for information there about it, talking about it, but you know, just I don't know if it's just a lazy thing, a habit on my part, or if it's just the general population that they're going to go straight to Google, they're going to type something in, and then they're going to look in on the top page of the organic results of what they want to find.
Right, right. And that's only sometimes effective. I mean,
sure.
Well, you know, hopefully we can begin to do some of this hunting for people too and find good stuff, for different.
Right.
For different purposes. One thing I wanted to say, I think, first of all, early on, I think we can probably say from the get-go that I think the default WordPress themes are going to be somewhat of a standard to hold up other themes too, as far as simplicity and ease of use and reliability and things like that. Because I think most themes that are available, you know, free or paid, just most themes, don't see like the scrutiny and the work that goes into those default themes. So, or measure up to that. So I think that's probably an early thing where we can, you know, if ever a question like, is this as easy as it should be? Well, this other theme is, that's what,
right.
The other thing was like, I wonder, I've been thinking a lot about themes lately in the sense that, or trying to determine who they were built for, whether they were built for the end user or built for kind of the consultant in the middle.
Because
I think that a number of theme companies anymore, their big market tends to be the people who have maybe a more advanced knowledge of themes and building websites.
And I think that's their biggest mistake.
Well, right, I mean, they tend to target those users and educating those users and getting them to basically kind of almost be the resellers of their themes, that those are the people who are going to then go out and get clients and then use that company's themes for that end client. So they kind of have that middleman to soften the blow of using their themes. Which maybe, I mean, maybe that, maybe they don't have to make it quite as easy, or maybe it's not dummy proof, which is what things like this should be.
Well, I think that's where you have, you know, WordPress, you know, the WordPress.com or whatever. You know, that for a lot of people is okay for personal blogging, and they don't care about having, you know, all the control in the world. But I think there's a lot of people in the attitude of the do-it-yourself community that want to know, that aren't coders, that can figure out a little bit of how to embed stuff and move things around, that could really benefit from somebody making more dummy-proof themes. And the default themes through WordPress, in my opinion, are the most dummy-proof themes you could get. So,
well, specifically with Mint themes, a lot of those topics in their support forum are basic WordPress questions. So I think there are some difficulty with, you know, saying, okay, we only want to market to the end user, you know, but we want to try to keep the price low enough that people can still buy it, because they really should, for what they're doing and the kind of support they seem to be offering, or kind of the advice they're giving for just general basic questions, should be a whole lot more money. You know, questions like, you know, how do I add pages to my site now that I've got this installed? But in that case, I guess if they are going to go down that rabbit hole, they really should be kind of linking up or partnering with some of the companies out there that do video tutorials. They could link them over to answer some of those questions. But even in that case, I feel like the questions I'm having really should be laid out more. Like, okay, you've got this place to upload the logo in your handy dandy options panel. Well, what are the dimensions of that logo?
Sure.
Well, okay, great. You know, I'll put whatever I want to in there, and you've got some kind of script in the back end that's going to smush it down and make it look like crap. Well, why don't you just tell me what you want it to be in the first place? And, you know, right there, thing. But if you go on their support forum, you know, if you just search logo, there's like, you know, 8 different forum topics, you know, that people started about, you know, how big should the logo be? Well,
and I think once we get into more of those kind of discussions on this podcast or this web show,
this web on the web zone,
whatever this thing is we do here, like you'll have like a perspective on like, okay, well, the reasoning behind they do that is because then they can charge you for support forum fees and advanced, you know, theme options. I mean, it's all trying to capitalize on a few extra dollars here and there, at the same time segmenting.
That could be I think that might be a little bit cynical.
I'm pretty cynical, so yeah, you're probably right. But I'm just saying, from a business standpoint, it makes complete sense why they would do that.
Well, but I also know
they're hitting a point where they're selling a product that might require a little bit of knowledge. Like they're selling to an end user group which might not even be at the point where they can knowledgeably purchase that item. Like that's where I think
that's true.
Like I spent this afternoon. It'll be on the WB Candy podcast proper soon, but spent this afternoon talking to Lance Willett, who is a theme wrangler at WordPress.com, and talking to him about the commercial themes, the paid themes that they've had available on that hosted service since around this time last year, and talking about theme prices, and because their themes range in price on a hosted platform, themes that you can't take with you. They range from $45 on the low end to $100 on the high end. It averages somewhere around $60-$65. And they're of the opinion that, you know, that theme prices on their hosted platform should actually be either the same as themes elsewhere or maybe a little bit higher, and that themes should keep going up in price. But I mean, in their scenario, you're not buying. Like, there's a difference between, you know, you press the buy button and then you apply, you know, you click the activate and it makes your site look different versus I bought it and then I downloaded a zip file and then I go and I install it and then I activate it, but then it doesn't look the way that it should. I mean, it's a different experience.
True, yeah.
I mean, you can almost see a value difference if you're talking about just the real newcomer user that doesn't know what they're doing yet.
Yeah, and I think you're also paying for, you know, support's a headache in the sense to kind of maintain and keep up and updating themes. And so that's why, you know, I'm not saying, you know, support isn't worth it, but if themes didn't so easily break, or like you said, were one-button installs and it looked exactly like what they showed you on their website, then, yeah, you wouldn't need all that.
Well, it's almost like there's an opportunity to go and clean up on freelance work. Because I think most of these churches have more money than sense and are willing just to pay somebody to make this problem go away. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if they're only charging $80 and they've got one guy in the support forums trying to keep all the plates spinning, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not going to insult their business model as it is, but it's obviously working out for them pretty well. But it's like you said, if they're marketing specifically to churches, most of those people wouldn't even know what WordPress is if it smacked them in the face. So what this is they've got some high school kid or their college intern who claims to be a WordPress guru who went and installed the theme, installed the hosting and the theme for them. Yeah, asks the difference between a page and a post.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a rite of passage in hosting, running, and managing your own blog for sure.
Absolutely. It's not that simple.
Although we'd like it to be that simple, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, and there are easier ways, but that's for another time. I think, okay. So that's a podcast, right?
I feel like that was an hour worth of something.
We just delivered a bunch of something.
I feel like we might have shot our entire wad for the next four of them we had planned.
I mean, that was the podcast of one. It's the weekly theme show, and that was it. So this every week.
Right.
Because it'll be like the same show over and over.
We should scrap this whole thing and go back and expand on everything we just talked about.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should have, we want to do a mailbag segment at the end of the show, because I think it'd be fun to, hear what other people's theme, either stories or issues or questions are, and maybe see if we can't, we can't just help everybody, I think.
I think that's probably helped almost everybody.
Almost. We don't want to shoot too high. So what should we do? We should have, we can do voicemails. We can set up like a Google Voice number, right?
Sure, yeah.
Email, let's make it themeshow@wpcandy.com.
Okay.
Then email that.
Do you have, the ability to do that with your Google apps?
Yeah, no, I'll just set that up. That's no problem. Same with the Google Voice.
Right. I didn't know if we're hitting your limit yet on Google apps.
Oh, that's a good question. Well, we'll find out.
There is no limit anymore.
Technically, even if I can't create that, if they send it to it, it's still going to get to me. So.
Oh, true. Yeah. Correct.
But I'll set it up. So that'll be themeshow@wpcandy.com. If you just leave a comment on one of the theme show podcast posts, then we'll see that. And maybe over time we'll figure out a hashtag or something if people are tweeting.
We've got plenty of hashtags waiting for you.
Just a bag of hashtags.
Bag of hash.
That'd be a good band name.
I think we should call that the podcast.
The bag of
hashtags.
That's so relevant.
I feel like
it makes so much sense.
I feel like I'm in a Cheech and Chong movie.
So you can follow the site at WPCandy on Twitter. I'm at Ryan Immel.
I'm at Nicholas_Weaver.
And at JJonesFTW.
For the win. Win. All right, that does it for this week, and we'll catch you guys next week for another theme show. Bye.